Hello and welcome to Journey of the Monkey King. I am Priva, and as always I'm joined by my friend MJ.
Yo!
So we are starting into chapter 17 of Journey to the West, and warnings for this one, there's going to be a couple more monster deaths, and the pain spell is going to come back.
Ooh.
I kind of, when I started planning this out, I kind of thought, you know, I do warnings for episodes. And I kind of thought, you know, the book has a lot of violence and stuff, but it's not going to be that bad. It's not like there's this torture headband exists, but it's not going to be used in every episode. And maybe, like, there's some chapters have a suicide in them, but I'm kind of starting to realize, you know, they may not use the specific torture headband or whatever every chapter, but every chapter has something.
It's omnipresent. It's the lurking threat in the background is why it works.
Yeah, but is it like, as in, if that's not used, then there'll be something else that I have, like, there's going to be something that kind of nasty in every chapter. I'm starting to kind of realize I didn't.
I mean, at least this one has no animal death.
Well, the monsters are like all animals who became monsters.
Oh.
So.
Oh.
There kind of is.
Cool.
Sorry.
No, I'm not really upset about it. But, well, like, I just don't like it. There seems to be just a lot of animal death. There's a lot. There's, yeah.
Yeah, this is a not does the dog die friendly podcast.
No. No. Well, no dog has died yet. What's died? We've had a horse. That went pretty early.
Couple tigers.
Couple of tigers. Yeah, okay. I mean, I was more upset about the horse. The horse deserved better. He was a faithful steed. And did not deserve to be dragoned.
Yeah. We have a new horse now who is...
Yay!
Also the dragon that ate the original horse.
Well, I mean, he got what was coming to him. Let's see how he likes it. Just walk a mile in my hooves.
Yeah.
Or, well, you could say shoes for that. They're horseshoes, obviously. But yeah. But I'll just tell myself that they're monsters and it's okay.
So, in the last chapter, Tripitaka's magic cassock got stolen while the Monkey King was busy helping to burn down the monastery they were staying in. So,
love that scene.
Sun Wukong is heading to the Blackwind Mountain to try and get it back, while Tripitaka himself is staying back at the remains of the Guanyin Changhall monastery. He's being looked after by the monks there. He's not very reassuring to them. In fact, one of the first things he says to them is to hope that Wukong does get the cassock back, because otherwise he will probably kill all of you in a fit of rage.
I mean, he gets angry about the violence, but he is leaning into it.
Oh yeah,
at the same time. He's pissed about it, but he's got no problem making use of it.
Yeah, how he introduced Wukong in the last chapter was, he may be ugly, but he's very useful.
A little bit of hypocrisy there, but, you know.
At the Blackwind Mountain, Wukong finds three monsters chatting about Taoism and alchemy. There's a black bear, the king of Blackwind, a snake in the form of a white-robed scholar, and a Taoist wolf spirit named Master Transcending Void.
First of all, I love that they're just sitting around talking about theology. That's quite cool. Like, you don't hear a lot about the internal lives and opinions and beliefs of monsters in this story. But also, so the snake is dressed as a scholar?
He's in, like, human form. So he's a human, like, wearing scholar's robes.
You may say that. I will persist in trying to imagine a snake wearing robes.
That's fair enough.
Little snake made robes, like a little poncho with an elasticated thing so they don't fall down.
So the day after tomorrow is Blackwind's birthday, and he plans to have a huge feast showing off his new clothes, which he's going to call the Festival of the Buddha Robe.
And excuse for a sesh.
Yeah. All right. It's his birthday. You're allowed to have a birthday bash.
Yeah, okay, yeah, fair. I skipped birthday for a little tired today. I skipped birthday for some reason and just heard them having a party to show off my new robes.
No, it's his birthday in 2 days.
Okay. Yay.
So, the mention of the robes pisses off Wukong, and he jumps out from his hiding spot and attacks them. Blackwind and Transcending Void manage to get away, but Wukong kills the snake.
Straight in, no kissing.
Yeah, which is probably why the snake doesn't get a name.
Oh, just the scholar snake.
Yeah.
The snarler. R.I.P. snarler.
Wukong follows the direction Blackwind fled to, and he finds a cave sealed with two large stone doors. And there's a sign up saying, "The Blackwind Mountain, Blackwind Cave," where the Blackwind King lives.
He's got a little name plaque. That's adorable. You know, marking out his own cave. Does it say no humans allowed on a little
No,
plaque?
it just has
Or no
the.
girl bears allowed?
It just has the name of the cave on it.
Okay, fair.
So Wukong bangs on the door and demands the cassock back, and Blackwind comes out dressed in a black gold cuirass, a black silk robe with dark green sashes, black leather boots, and a burnished steel helmet, and he's armed with a black tasseled lance.
Okay, the level of this is a masterpiece of a novel, but the level of attention given to clothing here, just the only thing that popped into my head was, my name is Ebony Dementia Darkness Raven Gray.
The Blackwind King is a goth. A goth.
Goth with two Fs.
Yes.
Yep. So the snake died first, clearly a prep.
So I've never read that story, but I've absorbed way too much information about it from like random Tumblr posts.
It's just pop cultural osmosis, I think, is we used to do for a couple of fundraisers, we did live dramatic readings of it. Quite popular.
Nice. So Blackwind freely admits to having stolen the robe, but laughs off Wukong when he recognizes him as the one who orchestrated the fire last night. He asks Wukong, what's he going to do about it, and who does he think he is?
A great sage equal to heaven.
Yeah, he says, "Brace yourself," and then rattles off a 64-line poem detailing his own importance and his entire backstory.
Wow. Okay. He's intending to bore the bear to death.
I will, as usual, not be reading this because it's 64 fucking lines long.
Yeah, we've all got things to do.
Yeah, so it goes through his attainment of immortality, being declared equal to heaven, which he calls the rank most high, despite the fact that it's a made-up title that means nothing. All the havoc he caused in heaven, his imprisonment, and his conversion to Buddhism. And he ends it saying, "You'll learn I'm the famous ranking diamond of all time."
Does he also say ban horse plague? Is ban horse plague in there?
No, he
I really want it to be
He
in there.
does not mention that title at all.
Oh.
But then Black Wind laughs and goes, "Oh, you're the Bad Horse Plague," which is the best possible response to give to a massive poem about how important Sun Wukong is if your goal is to piss him off as much as possible.
I like this bear. I like him. He's got excellent dress sense and very quick-witted and likes to chat theology in his prayer. I like this bear.
So, Wukong just immediately attacks him for calling him a bad horse plague.
Yeah, that was that's predictable.
The fight goes on and on. They keep fighting until noon. They're pretty evenly matched, and neither can beat the other until at about noon, the Blackwind King uses his lance to hold down the rod for a moment and suggests they stop for lunch.
I love this bear so much. It's like look, man, we've been wrestling a while. Can we just grab a snack? Truce. I love this. This bear is going to die. I know the cop, but I love him. I love him very much.
So this just pisses off Wukong more, and Black Wind decides to abandon the fight and flees back inside his cave and locks the door and decides to just start writing up the invitations to his birthday party instead.
Less impressed with the bear now.
I don't
Although
know.
I do like the vibe of I'm done with this. You know, I have shit to do.
I quite like, it's like, okay, we've been fighting for literally hours. Why am I still doing this? Let's just get my birthday party sorted out. That's the important
Yeah,
thing.
it's a nice vibe, really.
Yeah. So Wukong decides to swing by the monastery for a second to give an update to Tripitaka and make sure his master and the horse are being well looked after before heading back to the cave again. On his way back, he passes an imp on the main road carrying a wooden box under his arm, and he decides immediately to murder him and see what's in the box.
Okay, yeah, he's having a bad day.
Yeah, like he doesn't even try and take it off him or demand it off him or anything. He just kills him straight
It's
away.
like, okay, fuck you, you're dead. I
Yeah.
want the box. Like, he doesn't even know what's in the box. He just wants to see what's in the box.
Yeah.
Sociopathic motherfucker.
Yeah, inside is an invitation to Black Wind's birthday party addressed to the exalted aged dean of the Golden Pool, which is the late abbot of the monastery from the last chapter.
Ah, okay.
So
Yeah.
Wukong shapeshifts into the appearance of the abbot and heads straight back to the Blackwind Cave and presents himself there. And the King of Blackwind is a bit confused by this. He literally just sent out the invitation, like 10 minutes ago. And he figures that maybe Sun Wukong sent him to try and get the cassock back on his behalf. He's not sure. He
Yeah.
tells the steward to hide the cassock and invites the fake abbot inside.
Okay.
So Black Wind is wearing casual clothes now rather than armor. He has a green silk jacket, a green damask cape, a black head wrap, and black suede boots. He has a color scheme. He's sticking to it.
Yeah. He's goth. We get this. He's a goth bear.
So he has tea brought out and he asks why Golden Pool is visiting him today when his birthday isn't for 2 days. So Wukong says he happened to be coming here already just for a visit, and he met the messenger on the road. And when he saw the message about the Festival of the Buddha Robe, he wanted to see the robe immediately. Black Gwyn points out that he stole the robe from the monk who was staying at Golden Pool's monastery. Has he not already seen it?
Yeah, but I haven't seen it today.
So Wukong tries to cover himself and says, "Yeah, I borrowed it, but I didn't have time to examine it last night before you took it. Besides, the monastery burnt down last night, and the Tang monk's disciple became extremely aggressive about the whole thing. I couldn't find the cassock anywhere, which is why I'm so glad you have it."
Yeah, they were busy.
So
They were a little busy.
as Wukong is trying to cover his arse, an imp runs in to shout that the messenger they sent with the invitation to Golden Pool was found beaten to death beside the road. Because Wukong didn't bother to dispose of the body in any way.
Oh, come on. You're better than this.
He's powerful and he's clever, but he is lazy.
Yeah, I think yeah, his brain may be slightly scrambled from the headband torture and the years of or centuries of imprisonment.
So Blackwind cops on to what's happening and grabs his lance to attack Wukong, but Wukong's able to whip out his iron rod fast enough to parry it. So they start fighting again, out of the cave, up the side of the mountain to the peak, and then into the clouds.
Well, that
Yeah,
escalated.
they're just flying around in the sky attacking each other.
It's pretty cool.
So they keep fighting again until sunset this time. And again, Blackwind at this point decides to call for a pause and asks to, just let them rest and they can continue in the morning.
Yeah.
Wukong refuses, so Blackwind turns into a gust of wind and retreats back inside his cave and bolts the door again.
It's just, yeah, he's just very much, fuck you, I'm done.
Yeah, it's not fun anymore.
Yeah, bored now. Gotta do my eyeliner for this party.
I bet he does really good eyeliner in fairness.
I imagine his wings are just like perfect.
But Wukong returns to the monastery to discuss the situation again with Tripitaka. Monkey notes that the Blackwind King signs his birthday invitation as your student servant, the bear, realizes that at this point he must have been a black bear that became a spirit. So I missed it all that up front because I didn't think it really mattered as a spoiler, and I thought it was just easier to introduce him fully. But you don't actually in the narrative you don't find out he's a bear until this point. But it's not
Yeah.
particularly relevant other than in this conversation.
Yeah, that's fair.
So Tripitaka asks about how a bear could become like a powerful spirit, and Wukong laughs and points out that he also used to be a beast, but he became the great sage equal to heaven.
Is this another 64-line thing?
No, he just comments that the Blackwind King isn't so different to him.
Okay. Except he's got his shit more together and dresses better and has friends.
He has friends. Well,
Yeah.
Wukong had a bunch of friends before.
Have they kept in touch? No. Did they even ask where he was? Did I even come looking for him under that mountain?
No one visited him at the mountain ever.
Yeah, see.
Guanyin was the only person who ever visited him, and that was to recruit him for a job.
Really sad.
I don't know, like if Buddha fucking locked your friend away with magic powers, you'd be kind of worried what might happen if you tried to go near
It just depends on the friend.
it.
Like, there are some people I just leave there.
So they spend the night at the burnt down monastery again, and in the morning Wukong decides to bring the problem straight to Guanyin. This is her temple after all. She's been enjoying the worship of all these monks, but has left a monster take up residence as her neighbor. It's downright irresponsible.
Yeah, bring it to the neighborhood council.
So Wukong flies to the Potalaka Mountain and is greeted by a deity that remarks, "The Bodhisattva told us some time ago about the conversion of the great sage, for whom she had nothing but praise. But you're supposed to be accompanying the Tang monk. Why are you here?"
Nothing but.
Yeah, I included this line because that's such an interesting line about nothing but praise. I genuinely not sure if it's just him being polite, if it's sarcasm, or if Guanyin behind Wukong's back actually secretly really likes him.
Which option would drive him more insane, I wonder?
I can't make up my mind on it. What I will say, when she initially went to the mountain he was locked in, she says a little poem and she specifically like laments his wasted potential, as a thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe she actually does have a soft spot for him secretly.
It's just like, man, if you could just get your shit together, you know.
That or it's
You
just
just.
being really sarcastic. I really am not sure.
Fair. Who knows with Guanyin? You just don't ask questions.
Yeah. So Monkey gets his audience and he lays the blame on the stolen cassock on Guanyin for letting a monster spirit live near her monastery. And Guanyin responds, "This monkey still speaks insolently. If the bear spirit stole your cassock, why did you come to ask me for it? It was all because you had the presumption, you wretched ape, to show off. And you're the one who summoned the wind to whip up a fire to burn down my temple, and yet you still want to be rowdy around here."
She's got a point.
Yeah, when Monkey realizes that Guanyin knows a bit more about what's happened than he expected, he immediately changes tune and begs for mercy and aid instead.
Yeah, smart. Smart move.
So she does agree for the sake of the Tang Monk. And When they arrive together back at the Black Wind Mountain, Wukong sees the Taoist wolf spirit from before carrying a tray with two magic pills. He immediately runs up to him and smashes him over the head with his rod and kills him instantly. Guanyin asks him what the hell he did that for, and Wukong explains he was a friend of the Black Wind King and he must have been coming back for the birthday celebration.
Take a breath.
Yeah, Tai, like it's often kind of unclear how much time has passed in the novel, but it's birthday day now.
Yeah. Okay.
When Wukong explains that he was a friend of the Black Wind King, Guanyin based actually just says, "If that's how it is, all right." She's fine with it.
Just a scary being.
So they learn that the monster spirit's name is Master Transcending Void from an engraving on the back of his tray, and Monkey comes up with a plan. Guanyin will change into the form of Transcending Void, while Monkey will turn into one of the magic pills, which Guanyin will give to Black Wind as a birthday present.
So she's I like so she's bringing pills to the okay,
Yeah.
love it,
But the pills
love it.
are the but the pill is actually Sun Wukong transformed. So she's going to feed Sun Wukong to Black Wind.
And that he's gonna explode out of it. This is not gonna be pretty. Okay.
So Guanyin doesn't have any better plan and she's happy to go along with it. Guanyin on her way to the party is actually very impressed by Black Wind King's home. The mountain is gorgeous and covered in pristine forest. And she actually thinks someone who kind of lives in this kind of place there must be something, decent about them actually.
He has taste.
Yeah. So at the birthday party, Wukong's plan goes perfectly. The Black Wind King swallows the pill without any suspicion, and inside his stomach, Wukong turns back to normal and starts jumping around his guts, basically. So Black Wind falls to the ground in pain, and Guanyin assumes her true form and takes the robe off him. With the rope
Nice.
secured, Monkey jumps out of Black Wind King's nostril. He doesn't kill him, and
Thank God that he took that route.
so yeah, there's not. It's probably the least bad option.
I was fully expecting turned back to normal size inside bear and just kind of pew, with the guts flying out. I suppose that would have probably ruined the robe for the castle.
Yeah, I'm not
I
actually
don't
sure if
know.
he was wearing it or not, or if he was just like showing it.
Yeah, either way, you don't want splatter on that.
No.
You don't want bear guts on your cassock.
So, to make sure he stays incapacitated, Guanyin throws one of her magic bands onto his head. And when he recovers himself and tries to pick up his lance to attack her, she starts reciting her pain spell. Wukong actually quite enjoys seeing someone else getting the same treatment he's been having and nearly collapses with a fit of laughter.
No, does he?
Yeah, everyone in this story is kind of unpleasant.
Yeah, that's not the most surprising thing.
No, I like him when he's being roguish, but this is just kind of being a prick.
Yeah.
He's no sympathy at all.
Nope.
But Guanyin offers to spare the Black Wind King and give him a job as the great mountain guardian god of the Potalaka Mountain, and he accepts
See, this is why you dress for the job you want.
it. Wukong remarks that he wouldn't have been so merciful, which yeah, we know.
Yeah, we know you're a
I think she
prick.
knows that as well.
Yeah. Everyone's aware of that. Just take the robe and move on.
So Guanyin tells Wukong to go back to Tripitaka and not to start any more trouble with his carelessness. Wukong thanks her again before taking the cassock back to the monastery.
I mean, at least he's learned some manners.
And that is chapter 17.
Okay, wow. That was a short one. I'm very glad the bear didn't die. I don't like him in bonded servitude with a pain band on his head, but I kind of like him not dead, not as explodey as I thought it was going to be.
Like all three of his best friends are dead, but he's
Yeah, okay.
not.
Yeah, that does kind of suck. That's not great. No. But the well-dressed goth bear is alive, and I'm taking my wins where I can get them.
So, do you remember Sabote?
Yeah, that's the monk that Wukong tried to learn from the first time, but was too much of an impatient jerk to really take everything in, and got like a half-assed training.
I mean, he learned all the transformation magic he knows from him.
True, but he didn't get the whole way with them. He's kind of a college dropout.
And the immortality he learned kind of didn't work because he died in his sleep. But
Yeah.
after he taught Wukong, he said that if Wukong ever told anyone that Sabote was the one who taught him, he would find him and break every bone in his body and banish his soul to the place of Ninefold Darkness. And I said Wukong kept that promise and Sabote is never mentioned again, and I was kind of wrong. So
Of course.
he's not mentioned by name again, but in the long poem Wukong has in this chapter, he mentions being taught by an immortal, and he gives his address basically, but not his name. He tells he gives the name of the mountain he learned on.
Okay, so yeah, it's very, very kind of simple process of deduction there, and I don't think Sabote's going to be too happy about it.
Yeah, he will not make another appearance. I'm pretty sure of that. But I was wrong about him never being mentioned at all.
Oh, okay. Cool.
He's also, and I apologize for not knowing this when we did do chapter two. He's actually a Buddhist figure outside of the novel.
Oh.
Yeah, he's one of the 10 principal disciples of Buddha, so he's actually fairly important. I didn't actually realize that.
Okay, cool. Nice. Makes sense as a teacher.
He was originally a man named Nanda, born into a wealthy family before deciding to, become a holy man, basically.
Okay, cool. More you know. I'm liking the slow unveiling of the context here.
I mean, it's just because I
Take just shh. Just take it. Just take it. They don't need to know. They don't need to know.
I ended up finding this out while looking up as a little bit of information about like a film I was watching that's another thing is kind of loosely based on Journey to the West called A Chinese Odyssey. It's on Netflix. There's two parts, which is it's an interesting film anyway. I don't think it's a bad film, but I don't think it's not the kind of thing that I'd be into anyway. It's a Hong Kong made like comedy action movie basically with a surprising amount of time travel.
Okay, cool. I like things to have a surprising amount of time travel. I don't like to go in knowing how much time travel to expect.
It also features Tripitaka singing a Journey to the West themed cover of a Only You, which is like a doo-wop song from the 60s.
Wow, okay.
It's
I feel like I need to see this just because it sounds so utterly bizarre.
Yeah, it's an odd one. It literally starts off with within the first 5 minutes of Guan Yin just killing the Monkey King.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. She's thought about it. We all know she's thought about it.
And the plot does continue from there. I think I'll avoid any further detail, but yeah, it just starts off with her just killing him.
Yeah, it's a bit of a spoiler, but you know.
I think the subtitles only ever call her the goddess in the subtitles are kind of interesting because they don't use like the same names as the translation I'm reading here. And they always subtitle like the Monkey King as the Monkey King, even in times when some of the characters are clearly saying Sun Wukong, they just always use the Monkey King, and they always call Guan Yin the goddess and all this kind of stuff. And like there's like a magic box in it that they call Pandora's Box in the subtitles, and is also like the subtitle for the title of part one of the film, but I have no idea what that's actually a translation for.
Maybe they just think that Western audiences are too thick to pronounce the names, and they're
Yeah,
not wrong.
I honestly have nothing against liberal localizations. I think it often just makes a lot of sense to go with something that will be meaningful to the audience rather than having to expect loads of footnotes explaining things otherwise. Like the novel, like the translation I'm reading of this novel, obviously tries to go in, it the purpose is to give like a accurate translation with lots of footnotes about the cultural context and the names and translations and everything. But like it's a comedy action movie.
I'm gonna check it out.
You probably don't want it to pause and like explain Buddhist concepts to you all that much.
Speak for yourself. But yeah, no, definitely gonna check that one out.
It does have an awful lot of like really sexist shit in it as well, just.
I don't know. I'm still good. I'm still gonna go for it. I need silly things to watch. Shall we plug things, or
Yeah, well,
we could?
if you want to see the video of Tripitaka singing "Only You," I link to it on this podcast Twitter account, which is Monkey King Pod,
Yay!
which I should probably use more, but there are some things I post like little bits and pieces of stuff on there sometimes. I'm bad at promoting. It's great. It's the
Yeah.
best Twitter account in the world.
It's an amazing Twitter account. Everyone should follow this Twitter account. It changed my life. You know, it actually did. It's kept me sane, kept me alive. You know, and not just surviving. It taught me to live. It's a bit too much. Yeah. Okay.
I think you might be overcompensating for my bad salesmanship.
It's a little black and white. Yeah, follow the Twitter account. It's cool. I'm at Taoiseach of Trash on Twitter. That you pro If you're not Irish, you won't know how to spell it. It's in the show notes, I
Yeah.
think.
Yeah,
Check out
I
the
do actually put those in the show notes now. I do. And
Yay.
my account is Oakreef, OAKRWF.
Yeah, check out fun shows from Hysteria Ireland on Facebook at Hysteria Ireland. And I did a weird sci-fi tarot stream, which was hilarious, called Helena the Distance, and it's run by Emily Block, who's very cool, so you should check that out too. I really just wanted to mention the sci-fi tarot stream because it was fucking batshit and I love it.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what that would entail, but it sounds interesting.
It's a whole thing. I'll send you the link. You just gotta check it out.
If you send me the link, I can put it in the show notes as well. At this point, I will probably have edited this out and already had this faded out by music, I think.
Yay!